Balancing the Act. This is season 2 and I'm here with two people for the first time. So Garima and Akshit, thank you for taking the time out today and, you know, telling me your story. It is going to be very interesting because it's going to be about travel, it's going to be about fun, and more importantly, it's going to be how women travel in the 21st century. So Akshit, Garima, over to you. Let's understand how this all started, how Wandering Cane was founded, and how you guys met.
Well, so Akshit and I are first cousins, so it didn't take much effort for us to find each other. How it started was we are both travelers. We both have very similar tastes in travel, and we always exchanged notes. Some of the things that was exchanged very early on were things like the locals don't make enough money and the local economy is not getting impacted in a positive way. We were passionate about sustainability. We exchanged notes on that. We exchanged notes on how, you know, women are not picking up newer hobbies, newer activities. You know, when we go, we are both keen scuba divers. We love hiking. We love surfing. And we always were exchanging notes on which is the best place to go. And these observations sort of led us to find a gap in the market. And, you know, we thought of creating this community. Akshat, I'm sure, has something to add to this.
Oh, as always. So, so we're not, this is not our first venture. So we have that thing of doing something in us, and that's probably what brought us together among all the other cousins that Indian people have. So, and that's how it started basically. Like Garima said, I mean, we're avid travelers. We love having an adventurous travel in terms of we don't go for sightseeing or ticking the boxes. We make something happen when we are traveling. We try to do something unique, something new, something local, right? And during our travels, we noticed that nobody was doing that, you know. Take all the big box travel companies, all they are doing is brokering your stay and brokering your ticket, airline prices, right? What about after you reach Bali? Yeah, what to do? Nobody knows. What about after you land in Paris? Nobody knows what to do. So that's where Wandering Cane specializes. We tell you what to do after you have reached a destination with a local touch. So you can have a flamenco class in Spain from a Spaniard, right? You can learn cooking from a Balinese person in Bali. And you can find these people on Wandering Cane and make your travel richer.
So this experience always comes from like someone who's already done it. So this cannot be someone who's not traveled. But what did you do before Wandering Cane is my question. So let's go a little back into, you know, your history and understand what you guys did before becoming the wanderers you are today.
I have done everything under the sun, from selling candies with an FMCG company to selling cars with Maruti to finally selling shoes and clothes with Adidas and Reebok. So I was a hardcore salesperson.
I think I fit into the movie Three Idiots template of studying engineering and then MBA and then landing up in a bank, and that's where I spent most of the years in the corporate, and moved into an IT company which was again selling products to a bank. So a larger part of my corporate life I spent in banking or in fintech before we moved into here with Wandering Cane.
So if there is something to understand about your name and how the concept came into existence, both of you are salespeople and understand marketing and sales very well. How is this name, and you know, what is the essence behind the name, like Jane, and what is our man doing?
So, well, I think in terms of we wanted to, the name resonates with someone who's bold. So Jane is I think culturally a very, very a typical name of a woman, which, you know, resonates out, being outdoor, being fierce, being bold, going on, you know, a not so formally laid out path, if I may say so. So that's how we stuck to it. We have anchored the business around women travel, so which is where I think Jane came from, and Wandering, I think, you know, while it just sort of stuck with us, you know, I don't want to be dishonest to say that we you know, we thrashed out 1,000 names or so, but I think it just very, very organically happened to resonate with both of us and came in, you know, in the conversation. And I'm trying to think back. I'm guessing Akshat really came up with the name, or I did. I can't remember. I'm guessing, you know, one of us just did. I'm more inclined to thinking he did. And it just resonated. You know, I think it just sort of summarized what we do in a very, very clear way. We don't do the sightseeing bit. There are offbeat places that we are going to. We are always on the move. Somebody who's a true wanderer, who's a true traveler, you know, has that kind of soul and has that fierceness and that adventure streak like a Jain does.
Also, Jain is sort of a generic word for any female, you know. So it can be wandering Radha, Sarita, Nidhi, Garima, Swati, anybody. So it means wandering Jain, ghumne wali ladki.
So it's been a year, everybody's been at home, everybody's been inside their place. How is Wandering Jain, you know, taking care of this time with their customers or their clients or the so-called Jains?
Yeah, well, that's a rather interesting question, Kevin. So I think sometime last year, around Feb, March, we were doing a lot of reading and, you know, I think we accepted very early on as to what is going on around the world. You know, we were very, very cognizant, very clued in into the fact as to what is happening and how long will it take for the, you know, for things to normalize, for people to start doing the things that they used to do, you know, simple things that they used to do, like going to office or going out for a cup of coffee. And, you know, traveling was still far fetched in that sense. We were never in the business which was anchored around a destination. We've always been in the business of experiences, and we have always kept local experts at the center point. It is not Akshat, nor me, not anyone in our team who makes these trips and tells you what to do when you land in a destination. It is our handpicked local experts who are based there. Since we are directly connected with the local experts, you know, we were always in touch with them. They are a part of a community. They're family, you know, they're extended family to us. So we were in touch with them. We were very, very aware of what is happening with them. And fortunately, unfortunately, everybody was going through the same thing, you know, whether it was a couple of examples that Akshat narrated, whether it was a flamenco dance artist in Spain, you know, who would take you for that that dance experience if you are in Alicante in Spain, or, you know, if it's our expert who's in Croatia, who will take you down for a Game of Thrones walk, or our yoga expert in Rishikesh, and all of them were just going through the same thing. And we pivoted very early on. We had our first digital experience in the first week of April, which is, I think, exactly 10 days after the lockdown formally was announced. We were already in touch with them. We saw the travel slowdown sometime in February. We started curating content. We were asking them what is happening. Are travelers coming? They all faced cancellations at the same time. You know, we had cancellations. We refunded the entire money back. We didn't go by travel today, pay today, go tomorrow. None of that. You know, so we sort of moved all of those experiences as much as we could to a virtual platform, to a digital platform. So whether it is that dance or going to Croatia or learning a sound healing session from Thailand or Balinese cooking or, you know, yoga from Rishikesh or learning how to camp or, you know, making sure that you're fit enough to scale Kilimanjaro when you can. All of these were online experiences that were converted from an in-person experience, which is what we were doing before the pandemic.
So currently all these offers are going on. If I want to learn something right now, is it available?
Absolutely. So the same local expert, like I said, you know, we are in the business of experiences. The same local expert is equipped to provide a virtual experience as well as a physical experience. Not all in-person experiences are virtual. Let me also say that there are, of course, some experiences which will only remain in person, and it's impossible to kind of, at least as of now, I can't say impossible, maybe in future, you know, we may get them in some form or the other. But as much as we have, you know, you can choose your mode of, you know, of delivery, whether it's in person or virtual. And yes, they are all on our platform.
because these experiences or activities are online, how are they priced? Are they very expensive? Is it something like I can do on a weekend, or is it like a monthly course, or how is it? Can you tell me a little into this? I'm getting a little more interested in listening to your conversation about how this works.
Sure. So the pricing is very competitive. See, online experiences, the aim was and is still for people to be able to enjoy something sitting at their homes. And that actually gave us, a very different, a brand new market, not only of our travelers. We honestly started that because our travelers are our community, and, we wanted to keep them engaged. And but as of now, you can enjoy, a personalized cooking session all the way from Bali for as low as 700 rupees in INR to even 2,500 rupees in INR. They are very, very affordable, very competitive. The same goes for in-person also, right? Because, I mean, you're a business student yourself, and, you are learning the nuances by yourself. You would appreciate that we are directly going to the local expert. There are no middlemen. There is no agent format which is happening. There are local experts who are directly providing that particular service to our customers. So very affordable, as low as, some experiences are as low as 300, 400, 500, depending on the experience. But I would say very, very affordable in that sense. Akshat, you have, in pricing, in case you want to have.
Yeah, we've even done a mixology class for 500. You can 500 rupees from a certified sommelier, right? So you can learn to mix drinks for as low as 500 bucks in as little time as 1.5 hours. That's it.
So it's like you tell them what ingredients needs to be bought, everything before the class.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a brief. Yeah, so there's a bit of a pre-brief given in terms of preparation and ingredients and materials required for the class. And then it's just like chatting with each other in person, over a Zoom call. The sommelier just instructs you what to do, what to add, how much to add, how is it looking. And they take a review of how everybody is doing, how everybody is feeling. And you end the class with cheering.
On a high note?
Together.
Not quite literally.
Because this is a travel show, I want to understand your experiences and your learning from travels as well. So if you can, tell me one experience that you really, that really stood out for you when your travels as well. And that was like that changing travel experience of yours, or the one that you found ki ye nahi karti to life mein ye nahi hota. Like, was there any sort of travel where you thought this is the travel that I would like to redo, or it's just special?
My gosh, that's a tough question. I'm trying to remember.
You'll get time to think
I'm
about it.
Totally confused between so many of my trips. Something or the other I want to do again and again. Nahi karta wala option in mind nahi aa raha. Changing moment, I would say, has to be when I learned how to scuba dive in a small town somewhere. It was a super small town. There was absolutely nothing to do in that town. The most exciting event happening over the weekend in that entire town was a frog race. That's how dead the town was. But that trip was all about scuba diving, learning the skills, transferring them into the ocean, doing our first three dives, doing a night dive. And that's really where you sort of stop and smell the grass, if you know what I mean, right? So there's no bar to go to. There's no movie to catch. There's nothing to do except your scuba diving, your travel partner, and you. That's it. So these kind of trips make you realize the importance of being in the moment rather than rushing to do this, that, and stacking checks all together.
So where is this place? I think we've not got that.
This was in Port Douglas. This was in Port Douglas in Cairns County, Australia. So I learned scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef.
Wow. Some location to learn it.
Yeah.
Garima, how about you?
I mean, I agree with you know, when Akshat says that there is not one, because we were exchanging notes all throughout. So I think we did our diving courses around the same time. And I did it in India in the Andamans, which is equally beautiful. I'm not going to compare it to the Great Barrier Reef, but in Canada, I believe you, maybe we learned surfing there, you know, and I think Akshat had learned surfing, and he kind of motivated me to get on the board myself. And I remember that time too. I think, you know, a lot of these kind of experiences to say that, what do we really like something about a place, or, you know, we can go back again to a place to do something, you know, it really wasn't about what are the top five monuments you saw there, or what were the top five sort of bars that you hit. And that, I think, constantly kept happening, one location after the other, to say that, you know, we are traveling to do just something more, right? And I guess probably a mix of that and exchanging all those notes about diving and surfing and hiking. And you know, to be honest, initially our local experts or our business was anchored all around outdoor adventure spots, you know, because I think that is where our interest was. And when you're quitting your corporate career to start something, you all obviously have some kind of, you know, a passion and vested interest there. So I think it was anchored around there. And now, of course, we have a community and we've grown that. And now we have experiences around culture and food and history and, you know, whole bunch of things, and healing and wellness and whole bunch of things. But initially it was these. So I think with every such trip, you know, it was just very striking to see that how we plan trips is dramatically different than how others plan trips, you know. And they were very common, like I said, they were very common narratives in those notes, you know, in terms of sustainability, in terms of local interactions, in terms of using a local expert to build our trip around, you know, in terms of interest. That, okay, what did you do there? You know, what are the kind of things we can do in that place? You know, can we just go out for a cycle ride? You know, can we go out to a small winery there? You know, can we learn something new? And I think this is something we started telling each other, and we may have loosely used it initially when we started Wandering Jane, to say that you'll pick up a new hobby every time you travel with Wandering Jane, you know. So because it was just about just learning and just immersing yourself in some local experience. And I think just one of them, very organically, I honestly can't say that, oh, that day I decided, you know, it was a decision. We created a community, we grew that community, you know, quit our jobs, and it was a process, I would say.
Great. So how long has this process been, and how long do you think, you know, the relations or the local people that you've been interacting with, how has their response been to the whole Wandering Jane as a community?
No, it's been, I think it's both ways, that mutual love, respect, is really a two-way street in our case. It's been 4.5 years since we started, the response has been great. We are a bootstrapped company. We are not funded yet. You know, I think we wanted to grow organically. We haven't really spent great sort of spends in terms of acquiring these people. They are all handpicked. All our local experts are handpicked. And needless to say that equation or that relationship is very, very tight-knit, you know. I think it's been, the response has been fantastic. Somebody who we, especially the last year, has been very, very special, you know, because it's so fresh in our minds. I'm just going to say that, because a lot of our local experts hadn't used digital platforms to stream something, you know. So I still remember when very early on, if Akshat and I would call them and we wanted to say that, okay, you know, we want you to stream a live class, and why don't you show us your tea garden, and we want to create an experience around it. And I think they were aghast, you know, because it was also the time that things were very different. Things looked really, really grim and, you know, very, very morose around last year. And when we did such things, I think we had newfound energies, to be honest. And it was both ways. Like, our local experts just got, you know, as a community, we just got closer to each other. As founders, you know, we grew like closer. I think it was just you know, the pandemic has just sort of given us that pivot to sort of go out of the way and you know, understand that we are here for the experiences, you know. So it's been fantastic. We are a very, very close-knit community, and I'm sure Rakshat has some other interesting experience or something that he can remember which he may want to share.
Community is more tight-knit than usually is the case, because all of these early local experts that we have believe in that cause of Wandering Jane, you know, that women should have a safe and sound ecosystem where they can travel. There should be a local host who takes them around, somebody to take tips from, somebody to ask where is the local hotspot, what's safe, what's not safe. And that's what was really sold as a program to these local experts, you know, that there'll be women who will be traveling together, A, B, C, D, E, F, these are the points that you need to take care of. And these are people who believe in that reason and cause. Moreover, Garima also ensured that most of our early experts were women themselves. So yeah, these were women who were surfing in Kerala. These were women who were yoga instructors working out of Kerala or Goa, who were hosting other women travelers when they traveled. So that's how this ecosystem is created. And that's also something that makes this community really tight-knit.
Okay, my last question for both of you. It's basically my learnings and what I want to share with the world is your life lessons. You know, you are older to me and you have lived more years on this earth. So I just want some piece of wisdom that you could share with me, some life lessons that you have learned over the years. Maybe while you're traveling, maybe while you're at home, but I just want to listen to them and, you know, share this with the world.
From me, it's just that keep on trying whatever you think is going to work well for you and for your surroundings. Times have changed. It is much easier to do what you love now than it used to be earlier. Keep pursuing your dream, right?
All right.
Wow, what a fantastic message. I think I'll just add to that. Like, I think you should constantly keep learning, you know. I think that curiosity or that keenness to learn is something that keeps you young. I don't know how old you think we are, Kevin, but you made it sound like you know, like we are far, far older than you, and we will give you some life gyan. But yeah, I think keep on learning. That will keep you grounded. It'll keep you humble. It'll always want you to do something new. And those new experiences that even we bring on our platform are really life changing. You know, and it's not like I'm saying it's life changing. I think the reason we've stuck around, you know, leaving our corporate jobs behind is because every single message that we got and still get till date is never about great trip, you know, well organized. It's really a life changing message from somebody, and you know, those emotional stories stay on with you. I have another thing to add though, for, you know, because we got asked this question very, very often initially, you know, that, oh, you're going to do an all women's trip and, you know, five travelers from different parts of the country will come and go to another strange place and will they get along? And I think we have very terrible narratives about women friendships and about stranger women coming together. So, you know, for all those who think women, you know, act in a certain way and diamonds are women's best friend, I'd say not diamonds, but women are women's best friends. And we've truly, truly sort of embraced this, you know, and learned this from our model as well. So yeah, that's a life learning for me.
I think this is great. I think even I learned something new today. So I'm very happy to have both of you here. Thank you for sharing, you know, your experiences, your love, your imagination for creating a better community and driving things. Like you said, execution is so much more important than, you know, just planning and getting things up. So thank you again, and
thank you Kevin, thank you for having us. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Akshat. Thank you, Garima. I hope to join a few classes of yours and maybe learn a new hobby, like you mentioned. Thank you guys.
Awesome. Thanks Kevin. See you. Bye-bye.